politics, health, money, family, your legal rights, education, business, and your spiritual well-being. Highlighting the concerns that concern you. Back to Sunday Morning Live on Magic 102.1.
And we are here to enlighten, to educate, and motivate you to get involved. This is Sunday Morning Live. We are streaming at myhoustonmagic.com. We welcome in on this segment Dr. Randall Wright. He is the director of Neurovascular Institute, of the Neurovascular Institute, Conroe Regional Medical Center. Also the medical director of the Stroke Recovery Care Unit, Health South Rehabilitation Hospital in the Woodlands, and author of the book, The Right Choice, Your Family Prescription for Healthy Eating, Modern Fitness, and Saving Money. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Wilson. Thank you for having me today.
Yes, May is Stroke Awareness Month, and so that's why we have you here. I had so many questions for you. First of all, neurovascular, what is that?
So those are the blood vessels that go to the brain. So we always think of the heart as being having a lot of blood vessels, but the brain has them too, and there are just a lot of them. And so based upon what part of the brain it goes to, you know, we can have different symptoms.
And the stroke recovery unit. All right, let's talk about strokes. What is a stroke, and why do we need to be concerned?
So as the cliche goes, there are different strokes for different folks. So, and it's true because with the heart, we do know in general the main symptoms, the chest pain, shortness of breath. But with the stroke, it's a blockage of blood flow to a blood vessel going to the brain. But because there are different blood vessels going to the brain, people can get different symptoms. And so a lot of folks sometimes don't recognize the symptoms because they're different than what you might expect. So in general, symptoms can include weakness on one side of the body because mm-hmm. the brain does control how we move our arms and our legs. It also can include numbness and tingling on one side of the body as well. So people can start all of a sudden be having dinner and they're having enjoying themselves. Then all of a sudden they go weak on one side of the body or go numb on one side of the body. That could well be a stroke. People can also, because the brain controls how you speak, that if that area gets blocked from having blood, you can get difficulty speaking as well. So you can have a great conversation, all of a sudden start slurring your speech and can't quite get your words out, and all of a sudden that could well be a stroke. So do pay attention to that as well.
So we're talking about a blood clot in some of the vessels in the brain.
Yes, ma'am.
That's basically what a stroke is. Now you say it's different from what people might expect. What are the generalized symptoms or ideas in people's heads when they think someone is having a stroke?
Yeah, because sometimes people think that if I'm not hurting, nothing's really wrong. And you've done a great job with the American Heart of promoting that chest pain is an emergency. But a lot of people get numbness off and on, and they may not think of numbness as an emergency, especially if it just happens all of a sudden. They might think, oh, I slept wrong, or must be a nerve getting pinched or something, which it could well be, too. But if it happens suddenly, it involves the complete side of the body, the face, the arm, and the leg, and you get some weakness with it that you just cannot ignore. You need to get that checked out quickly.
We're talking to Dr. Randall Wright. This is Stroke Awareness Month. May is Stroke Awareness Month, and I'd love for you to participate in the conversation and the dialogue. 713-390-5102. You mentioned the numbness in the body. How do you know when it's the difference? Maybe, oh, my arm is falling asleep. You understand what I'm saying? I don't quite know the technical terminology to use, but I'm just saying, okay, what's the difference?
Yeah, so there are big differences as far as what causes that. But when it comes down to if someone experiences something that's completely new and they haven't had that before,
and it doesn't go away,
right? Let the physicians make that determination, because we only have a few hours to treat you. And if you wait and think, oh, I'll just sleep it off, it could be too late.
Now, you only a few hours to treat. What is happening when someone has a stroke? So, explain the process.
So, great. So, let's take a little step back and explain how we get to having a stroke, and then you can see what causes that. So, do you drive?
Yes.
On the highway?
Yes.
Here in Houston, right? Okay. So,
yeah, who doesn't?
Right. That's a blood pressure cause for you right there. So if you ever get to curves in that highway, you see a little speed sign that says speed limit, maybe 35 or 45 miles per hour.
Yeah, but who actually ever follows that?
Good point. But why is it there? Because if you travel faster than that, in that curve, you run the risk of
losing
control and hitting the edge of the highway. It's the same thing inside our blood vessels. In our blood vessels, there are curves that go all throughout the body as they curve to get to where it has to go. But at those curves, if your blood pressure is higher than a certain number, the blood vessels, like our cars, can't make that turn properly, and they'll run right into the side of the blood vessel's wall. When that happens, over time, all that years of pounding and pounding and pounding at some point causes a tear in that blood vessel lining. When that tear happens, it's like a cut. When you cut yourself, what happens?
You bleed.
You bleed, and then what hopefully happens?
It will eventually heal itself.
Yeah,
it'll clot.
It'll clot. And that's perfectly fine on your skin. But inside a blood vessel, they're millimeters large. And if you get a blood clot, which is doing its job to kind of repair that little tear, but if that clot happens inside a blood vessel, it can actually block that blood vessel. And that's a stroke if it's going to the brain, or it's a heart attack if it's going to the heart. That's the problem right there.
All right. Now, we're going to take a break in a minute and come back and talk to you. 713-390-5102 if you'd like to get on the discussion. There is really no age limit for strokes. Most people tend to think that strokes happen when you're older, 40s, 50s, 60s, and older, but strokes can happen in
younger people.
And children also?
Sometimes, depending on what caused it, but yeah, absolutely.
But definitely in young people, because I have a very good girlfriend who had a stroke in her early 20s, mm-hmm. recovered fully. However, Can stress lead to strokes? What are some of the things that can lead to a stroke? I know health. I know our diet, what we eat, how we eat, high blood pressure. But are there some other underlying factors that can lead to stroke? And once a person has had a stroke, is there a full recovery? Is there sometimes a semi-recovery? How debilitating can stroke be? We're going to talk about all those things when we come back. We're here to enlighten, to educate, and motivate you to get involved. You are listening to Sunday Morning Live. We are streaming on MyHoustonMagic.com. And good morning. Welcome back to Sunday Morning Live. We're speaking with this segment, May being Stroke Awareness Month, speaking with Dr. Randall Wright, Director of Neurovascular Institute at the Conroe Regional Medical Center and Medical Director of the Stroke Recovery Care Unit, Health South Rehabilitation Hospital, The Woodlands, Texas. His office number, 281-210-2840, and he has a site, therightchoicerx.com. Dr. Wright is... this is area of expertise, stroke, stroke prevention, and the rehabilitation after stroke. And Dr. Wright, I want to ask, what led you to want to specialize in this particular area?
It came really by accident, if you will. When I was young, we all have grandparents, and I love my grandfather, and we used to always play together. He was a sergeant in World War II, and he went through many battles. But one day, I noticed that he could no longer hold me anymore. He spoke funny. He spoke with a slur. This deep, raspy voice that was kind of scary. My grandmother would always have to carry him because he could no longer walk anymore. And I never understood what that was all about. And it bothered me because he was my best friend at the time. Fast forward years later in medical school, I realized that weakness on one side of the body, numbness, speech problem. Oh, my God, that's a stroke. My grandfather had a stroke. And seeing what it did to my life and how it completely changed my relationship with someone, I realized that I need to do something to help people not to have this stroke. And then as I got more involved with my practice, and actually I'm actually the director for the stroke committee for the American Heart Association for six states, and we help to determine legislation, we help to determine what funding goes to its programs, I see stroke now at a different level. And I realized that it's not just a one-person problem, that there is a community need to help raise awareness, and that's kind of why I'm doing things like this now.
And you mentioned during the break just now that stroke, what was the numbers you gave?
Stroke is the number one cause of disability in America. If you think about it, if you have a heart attack, if you survive that, you can go back to work over time. But with stroke, because it affects you, you can't move properly, you can't speak, a lot of people can't go back to work after that, at least not initially. And so it causes a lot of time off from work, and if you can go back at all. So it's the number one cause of disability and the fourth leading cause of death in America.
And we talked about the cost. So the overriding costs of the rehabilitation and...
Yeah, so if you think about it, cardiovascular disease and stroke are very costly conditions. Stroke alone cost $73 billion in care last year, 2010. If you think about it, if you can prevent a stroke, those are costs that we did not need to spend. So looking at how to do healthcare reform, yes, we have to reform the system, but if we as people take better care of ourselves, we can completely change the way that healthcare is paid for because it would cost less.
All right. Now, we talked about some of the factors that can affect a stroke, like weight, high blood pressure, smoking. But you know what? You can be thin, mm-hmm. when I think about it, and have a stroke. You don't necessarily have to have certain comorbidities. I think that's the term when you're overweight and high blood pressure and all that. Yes, you can be thin and have a stroke.
Yes. You can be thin and have high blood pressure. You can be thin and have high cholesterol. The problem with stroke is that its risk factors typically do not hurt. High blood pressure does not hurt. Diabetes does not hurt initially, at least. High cholesterol does not hurt. So you can have these conditions for years and not know it. And once that blood vessel tears inside, you're done. You know, you have a stroke. So, yes.
All right. We have some folks on the line that really want to talk to you, Dr. Wright. Let's go to line four. Let's talk to Yvette. Good morning, Yvette.
Good morning. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for holding. You have a question for Dr. Wright this morning?
Yes, ma'am. Good morning, Dr. Wright. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Doing great.
Thank you. Thank you. I work in the medical field, and I see a lot of patients that come in and out of the hospital and through the emergency room with stroke symptoms, as well as TIA. Can you explain the difference between having the TIA versus having a stroke at that time?
Great question. So a TIA stands for transient ischemic attack. So ischemia means lack of blood flow, and transit means that it's temporary. So it's basically, it's a stroke that goes away by itself. So people with a TIA, they'll get that blocked blood vessel, but for some reason, which is grace of God sometimes, is that it'll open up by itself and it'll restore flow back, and then your symptoms will go away. That's a warning sign, though. So, you know, and a lot of folks may get that and think, oh, I got numbness, I got a weak for a little bit, and then it went away. Don't ignore that.
But will the TIA, this symptom, is it something that would cause so much concern that you would go to seek medical attention, medical help, or is it something that...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it depends on which blood vessel is blocked off and then how would it affect it. So some people it does, some folks it doesn't. That's why I'm trying to get the message out that if you get those symptoms, do not ignore them, because 33% of people with TIAs go on to have a major stroke within the next 2 to 3 weeks. So
now,
it's a warning sign.
I'm sorry to cut you off. Explain those symptoms again.
Weakness on one side of the body, numbness on one side of the body or tingling, difficulty speaking, sudden vision loss, anything of those that come on all of a sudden, you should get those things evaluated immediately.
All right. Thank you very much, Yvette, for that call. Let's go to line one. Miranda.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, good morning. You have a question for Dr. Wright?
Yes, Dr. Rice.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm better. Thank you. I had a massive stroke, what they call a massive stroke in 07.
Okay.
And my daughter knows all the medical terms of it. They call it a bleed out or whatever. But it affected me on my left side. I couldn't walk. I couldn't talk. I couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. I had to wear adult Pampers for way over 6 months. Mm. But since that time, I take my medication. I'm even better. I can walk now. I can talk. I can do all the things that I thought I wasn't going to be able to do. But I'm just wondering, how long will I have to take all this medicine, and what is the long-term effect on the stroke that I had? Do you need my Social Security number, and you can look and see all the medical stuff that they had to do to me?
Not in this setting, but I can answer a few of those questions, though.
Okay.
And you actually raised an interesting point, because I heard you say you had a bleed out. So that makes me wonder, was this actually a different kind of stroke called an intracranial hemorrhage? And that's slightly different than what we've been talking about right now. We've been discussing when a blockage of blood flow occurs.
And what happened to me, they had to put what they call shunts down in my brains. And the shunts were on top of my head, and they were going, the blood and whatever was going in a jar on the side of my hospital bed.
Right.
So
we can kind of clarify for the audience. So what you're referring to is called an intracranial hemorrhage, which is similar to a stroke, and they're also called strokes too. But in this case, usually because of blood pressure being very high, that instead of just tearing that blood vessel, it actually ruptures, and blood then spews off into the brain, and it bleeds into the brain. That's why it's called a hemorrhage. So those are much more devastating. So most people die before they get to the hospital in that case. So you are very blessed that you made it through.
I am very blessed. They took your life when they got me to the hospital, they put me on life support immediately.
Yes, and so it's the same risk factors essentially for stroke, but it's just a different end result with it. So, and so I'm very happy that you're recovering. And people can typically recover from those if they survive, because as the blood dissolves or goes away, you can start to get function back. So I'm excited that you're getting better. In regards to your medication,
I can walk. I can walk. I can talk. I didn't suffer. I'm not coiled up. My arms and legs are not coiled up, because they tell me that sometimes they have to break the bone for you to stretch your legs out and stuff. So I've been blessed that I can walk and do all of the things that I did before. And I'm not coiled up, my hands and stuff. I still get that little tingling, like right now on my left side, my palms of my hand and fingertips are a little numb. You know what I'm saying?
But yes,
not
ma'am.
Like it was. Yes, sir.
Miranda, let me put you on hold so we can give you Dr. Wright's office number so you can continue to have some conversation with Dr. Wright in an office setting.
Okay.
All right. So don't hang up. Just hold on.
I'm not gonna hang up. Yes.
All right. Let's go to line two, Diana Wheeler. Let's get Ms. Wheeler in. Hi, Ms. Wheeler. Hello.
Yes.
Hi,
Diana.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. You're on Sunday Morning Live with Dr. Randall Wright, director of Neurovascular Institute, Conroe Regional Medical Center. He's an expert in stroke and stroke prevention. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Wright.
Hi, Dr. Wright. This is Diana Wheeler. I used to work with you downstairs in the Saturday Laboratory Clinic.
Yes, I remember. How are you?
Good. How are you?
You're doing good. I thought I recognized your name when I saw it come up.
Well, you know, I wanted to tell the listeners that Dr. Wright and his wife, both of them are doctors and are very knowledgeable and the most professional, courteous people. So anybody listening that wanted a great doctor, they really should contact
your
his
check's
office.
In the mail.
Thank you. But hey, I actually do have a question. I had a friend that actually suffered a stroke back in 2006. It's like they just kept going through their regular activities of the day, but it's like they started off with a really, really, really bad headache, and they just thought it would go away, and they just kept throughout the rest of the day until late that evening. Someone noticed that you just don't look well, and so anyway, they finally took him to the hospital. And it's like, even though his left side is completely paralyzed, you know, I was really surprised because his he have all of his, you know, he was a engineer, and it's like he have all of his business mind. None of that seemed like it went away. But the you know, he exercises like on a three-wheel bicycle and all that kind of stuff. But I was just wondering, will he ever get better?
So people can recover from a stroke, and that's why I love being involved in both an acute care hospital, which is Conroe, and the rehab hospital, because we are doing great technologies on both sides of A, treating strokes, because we haven't discussed treatment, but we can do great things with treating. But then once you've had a stroke, he should definitely be in a recovery program, which can help him to improve over time. The brain's an amazing organ, and over time, things can improve. Everyone has a different pathway, unfortunately, and so not all people improve completely, but there are things that can be done to help people in that process. So, yes, people can recover after a stroke.
Okay, because he drives and all that, but it's just, you know, like I said, you know, he just has no use of the left side, you know, and he, you know, people have to assist him with, you know, moving his left leg around and stuff. But now I just wonder if it's been 5 years or going on 6 years, is there just...
Yeah, technically speaking...
Able to walk again or anything like that.
Technically speaking, the highest chances for stroke... improvement after stroke within the first 6 months, and then it does continue on for years after that one, but it does go down over time. But there is also a greater physician than I am, and so he has the ultimate say. So
I hear you. I know that's for sure. Okay, well, great. Well, tell your wife to hello, and again,
we'll do that.
Audience, it wasn't trying to because I know him, but I'm telling what I know of him. He's a great, great doctor, he and his wife. So thanks again for all you do, doctor. Appreciate you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Wheeler. Dr. Wright, thank you so much. We're going to have you back so we can spend more time with this. I want to talk about your book real quick, The Right Choice, Your Family's Prescription for a Healthy Eating, Modern Fitness, and Saving Monday. Saving Money. It's a wonderful book. We're going to have you come back and talk about this, because there also is a program that you offer along with your book.
Yes.
And tell us just give a synopsis of this health eating program.
Sure, yeah. So the book is called The Right Choice, and it's helping people make decisions every day that can ultimately affect how they live. And so, but you can't do this overnight. So we have a 6-week program to help introduce you to practical ways to live healthier, eating healthier, reading food labels, incorporating exercise into your daily activities. And so we help people get into that mindset. We're not selling a diet or exercise plan, just trying to help you as a busy mom and dad make those transitions. We've done it in the Woodlands, and we're actually looking at doing it with churches coming up pretty soon.
And you'll be doing something with Lakewood Church.
Yeah, we're looking at trying to offer a program there as well. So,
all right. They can find out more about the book at www.therightchoicerx.com.
That's right, with a W.
Excuse me?
That's right with a W.
Yes, W-R-I-G-H-T, choicerx.com. That's the doctor's website. His office number, 281-210-2840. You are a specialist in the area of what's your specialty? How would you say it?
Basically neurology, so stroke, neurovascular problems, yes.
All right, thank you, Dr. Randall Wright, and we will definitely be talking with you again.
Thank you
so much for joining us this morning.